All right. Well, I didn't know the weather was going to cooperate so well with what I was going to talk about today, but we're going to talk about something that we've all done at one time or another. Excuses not to go to church. So, the first one, the obvious elephant in the room, is the weather. Oh, it's rainy, it's cold, you know, it just doesn't, boy, it feels so good just to sleep in, and God can be here while I'm in my bed. God can bless me at home just as much as he can bless me at church. We'll get there. Another one, and the way I'm going to frame this is I'm going to throw out some excuses and maybe even some valid reasons, but what I would like to think how Taff could respond to these excuses. I really like to eat out for breakfast or lunch on Saturdays or Sundays, but Saturdays. Here at Taff, we have breakfast and lunch fellowship available every Sabbath. Wish you would come and join us. Churches are full of mostly sinful people, and many are hypocrites. Here at Taff, we always have room for one more. I'm against organized religion. Perfect. Here at Taff, we can be highly disorganized. Church people tend to look down on women, people that are too old, people that are too young, divorced people, certain ethnic groups, interracial couples, interracial families, and so on and so on. Here at Taff, we don't. Can we introduce you to our female elders, our female board members? We have church members, volunteers, and church regulars made up of old, maybe seniors, a better word, young, middle-aged, single, married, divorced, remarried, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Puerto Rican, Jamaican, German, Irish, Native American people. Leaders and volunteers from all over the world, people who love the Lord, but sometimes struggle with their past, their plans for the future, depression, doubts, temptations, and so on and so on. Well, sometimes I don't really believe in God so much. That's okay. God still loves and believes in you. Church people are so judgmental. Here at Taff, with everything we have done, we really can't be judgmental or throw stones at anybody. I'm just not being fed at church. It's okay. My primary focus is not really to feed you, but to equip you to feed yourself, so you can feed others. 10 years ago, someone at some church somewhere was really awful to me. That is really crummy and disappointing. I hope you will give us a chance to show you something different, and maybe even make that up to you. I feel like I need to get right with God before I can come to your church. Here at Taff, everyone struggles with sin, so why don't you come and join us? We're going to trust in God to help each one of us through whatever we are struggling with. I don't have time to go to church. Maybe you don't have issues with anyone at our church. You're just really busy on weekends, doing other things, good things, attending your kids' sports games, school events, going on family getaways, fixing stuff around the house, are all good things. But if they regularly take you away from church attendance, you would do well to realize you're choosing the captivity of activity. over what God says is more important. Going to church is not about getting your attendance gold star, nor is it about gaining God's favor for the week because you assembled together with his people. Church is not a place to go. Rather, it is a living body where God wants you to become an integral part for your own good and for his glory. So rather than talk about excuses not to go to church, what I'm really going to talk about are reasons to go to church, even when you don't feel like it. You should go to church to hear the preaching of God's word. Amen. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. If the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than a sword, then it only makes sense that hearing the preaching of Scripture is vital to our spiritual well-being. Watching preachers on TV is often how people justify not going to church. They may be listening to good preaching, provided it is based on Scripture, but without living in close fellowship with real people, one can never really experience in totality the help and hope Christ offers through faithful involvement in a Christ-first church. These days, many of us are more accustomed to getting our information through entertainment. So sadly, more and more preachers are replacing preaching with drama, skits, videos, things that play on our emotions. While our culture craves entertainment, God never instructed his ministers to entertain the troops. Rather, he commanded them to preach love, truth, and judgment, and bring it with urgency. It is through the preaching of biblical truths and sound doctrine that the Word of God penetrates and transforms lives. I heard a saying one time that God can reform you. It's not accurate. God can transform your life. He can transform your heart back to what it was meant to be. Sound doctrine will help. It calls each of us as sinners to repentance, encourages the downtrodden. It inspires us as God's servants to love and serve Christ along with others. It lights the way God would have each of us to go. When facing certain death, the Apostle Paul revealed the importance of preaching with this final instruction to Timothy. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. So Paul didn't say anything about having the most numbers. He didn't say anything about making everybody feel good. He didn't say anything about warm and fuzzy. This is a time that the week's been tough, so now when you bring it, you know, everybody should be smiling. That's not what he says. These are unpleasant things in times. Urgent in season and out of season. Now, for those that are physically unable to attend church, watching it on television or online is a fantastic resource. Especially with TAF streaming our services live and posting our sermons weekly. This allows us to stay in communion with our church family, learning what we are all learning, and growing as we are all growing. You should go to church to participate in corporate worship. That's number two. Worshiping God alone is wonderful, but nothing replaces the awesomeness of coming together to praise and worship God with others who love him, but who also face many of the same doubts, struggles, and disappointments due to sin. In John 4:24, Jesus said, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. in order to truly worship God the way he demands requires some soul searching. All too often, people think worship is rooted in feeling like they've been with God. So they flock to churches that help them feel good, look good, and claim riches, fame, and social status. Sadly, if the church doesn't continue to create an environment that stirs their emotions, many move on to find another church. Or worse yet, stop attending church altogether. We need to realize that worshiping God comes as a response to our humble gratitude for his love for us. Knowing God and his character as revealed in Scripture should stir in us a heart of thankfulness that is expressed in worship, that brings him glory, rather than a self-serving emotional experience. The Spirit causes true worshipers to long to come together with other believers to honor Christ. If God's Spirit does not stir in you a desire to worship God both privately and corporately, it's time to ask him to show you why. Number three, you should go to church because iron sharpens iron. That is what Proverbs 27:17 tells us. Meeting regularly with other believers is a source of encouragement and strength. But know this, when iron rubs iron, not only does it become sharper, it also causes sparks. It's just part of the process. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." When you live in community with other Christians, you will get bumped. And what spills out of you is what's in your heart. God uses our interactions with others to show us the areas he would have us repent and turn to reflect more on the image of his Son. Working alongside Christians in a church fellowship is a wonderful way to grow your love for God and for others, and is also God's way of showing you areas he wants to mature your walk with Christ. So, personal testimony. Has anyone here ever talked to someone and, you know, they have a lot of questions and you're talking about things, spiritual things, and, you know, I've done this and really feeling like, okay, the Holy Spirit really helped me say the right things, answer the questions correctly, and sometimes not, but in most cases, yeah, wow, you know, God's, but then all of a sudden I start reflecting on, am I doing the things that I'm talking about? Or is there more that I could be doing that I'm saying? It's a key part. That's what that means, is sometimes we need that interaction, not so much for the other person, we need it for ourselves, in our own spiritual journey, in our own growth. If you stopped attending church because people hurt you, didn't measure up to your expectations, or are hypocritical, know that the enemy has you right where he wants you. Satan's tactic is to divide and conquer. He can pull you from the flock. If he can pull you from the flock, you are vulnerable to his deceptions and attacks. Satan can use your lack of concern and love for God's people to quench your love for God. You should go to church to exercise your gifts. Today with the kids, that was not my gift, but we all have gifts. From preaching to encouraging, hospitality to administration, to sometimes just being a pleasant person to talk to and giving someone a smile. God equips all of us with gifts to serve Christ. When a church body is healthy, its members realize they are part of the congregation, not only to receive, but to also be a blessing. Statistics reveal that in most churches, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. This is not to guilt you into getting involved at your church. Rather, it is to inspire you. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Imagine God has supernaturally gifted you so that he can glorify himself through you as you serve Christ. Many see work happening at church and think, nah, they don't really need me. Don't be deceived. A well-running ministry may appear to have all its bases covered. And it might. But if you look closely, you'll discover many individuals who are doing more work than they'd like simply because today... Oh, lost my place. Here we go. Because today, just as in Jesus' day, the harvest is truly great, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And that's Luke 10:2. Your willingness to minister in your church with what God has gifted you is likely the answer to someone's prayer for God to send more workers to help with the harvest. You should go to church to encourage, support, and pray for your pastor. Five ways to do it. Obviously, praying for your pastor, the work of pastoring is not only mentally, emotionally, and physically taxing, it's also grueling spiritually. Number two, get to know your pastor and his or her family. A pastor's family is a key part of his or her calling and ministry. Know your pastor loves you and is for you. Extend your pastor grace and support and follow your pastor. And for those that attended, we have a new pastor, which I'm excited about. His name's Joe, and I think he'll be here, I think Marky said, next week. You should go to church seeking godly mentors. In the church, you'll discover many people who have walked the road ahead of you. Their wisdom, insights, and even vulnerability to teach you from their mistakes is one way God provides to help you grow. Titus chapter 2 is a great place to learn how much God values mentorship. It is his plan for the older men and women to come alongside of the younger to train them in godliness and guide them toward building a life of no regrets. And not only is the church a wonderful place to find amazing mentors, it is also the place God wants to use you to mentor to someone else. Ellen White says, with one eye looking to godly, older believers for guidance, and the other eye on God, on who God might desire for you to mentor, we should never be surprised at the opportunities God will afford each of us in our desire to please him. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You should go to church to teach your kids to love Jesus and love the church. A story I heard one time about a pastor's wife who taught a young kid's class. Many times the parents would drop them off asking her to fix them. Often the parents grew up in a church but walked away after they grew up. Most never really had a relationship with Jesus. However, when their own kids were at risk, it was to the church they often returned. But they usually didn't come themselves. Rather, they dropped their kids off in hopes the good would rub off on them. If you want to teach your kids to love God, they need to see that you love God. And if you want them to learn to love God's people, they have to observe you loving God's people. Not only that, loving all people. Luke 6:40 says the student will become like his teacher. Notice Jesus didn't say the student will become as the teacher teaches him to be. Rather, he will be like his teacher. In her new book, Caught Not Taught, famous parenting author Julie Rupp says, our children will learn more about faith from watching us live out our own faith journey than from us telling them everything we could possibly remember or know about God. You should go to church to be a light to your community. Jesus said the world will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. So, of course, Satan wants to destroy any sense of love and community in the church. When you commit to loving God and loving others, the light shining from your Christ-honoring love is what the Spirit can use to draw others to know Jesus. We are all looking for acceptance and a place to belong. Whether we admit it or not, we all long to be known and loved for who we are. If we are truly God's people, we should commit to fiercely loving each other by covering wrongs and sins with love and readily forgiving each other as Christ has and continues to forgive each of us. You should go to church to bear others' burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." This verse teaches us to not only bear each other's burdens, but to carry them in order to fulfill or follow the law of Christ. Life can be hard, right? In a moment, everything can change. Just when things are going great, a phone call, a diagnosis, or a host of other mishaps can leave any of us feeling afraid, devastated, and alone. But as those who are a part of a church family, we should never feel alone. When life is going great, we have the affirmation of others. And when life throws a curve, we are blessed by loving concern, support, and prayer. Anyone ever know someone who goes or gets more active in church when life gets hard? And then when their needs are met, they fall away again? Only to come back when there's another disaster. While we are happy and will always be there to help them, we know the real help they need is a genuine, long-term relationship with Jesus. If you're accustomed to only going to church when you have a need, why don't you try going when you're doing okay? Maybe God will use you to be an encouragement to others who are looking for help. You should go to church because God says so. Hebrews 10:26 says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I don't think the writer of Hebrews could make any more clear God's desire to have you regularly assembled together with his people. Realize that God wanting you to regularly attend church is for your own good. He wants you and his people to support, strengthen, and build one another up, especially as the days grow darker and the time of Christ's return approaches. Think of the underground church in other countries. I read a story about a man from China explaining how they had to sing hymns no louder than a whisper, for fear they would be discovered. Discovery would mean physical abuse. Their children and possessions could be seized and imprisonment. Yet, still, they met together. Their story should stir our hearts to see the value and incredible privilege we have to meet openly together to worship God and hear the preaching of his word. I hope God will capture our hearts in a new and fresh way. As the praise team comes up, I'm going to close with this. God created church. He knew we would need it. He created, resides, and participates in this church. God created a place for his people to come together, to worship him, to learn his word, to sense his presence, and experience his power. The church is the body of Christ and represents all people who accept Christ's sacrifice and God's gift of salvation. The church is not a particular building, careful Jim, denomination, or congregation, but the spiritual fellowship of all who belong to Jesus Christ. If we love and belong to Christ, we also love and belong to each other. We love and forgive others as Christ first loved and forgives us. Sometimes churches get off track or maybe go the wrong way, but it's still God's church. And it's still a place where if we press forward with all of our hearts, these things can happen. We can experience God's presence. We can hear God's word. We can ask for God's forgiveness and forgive others. We can have a positive effect and support one another to grow and mature in Christ. Charles Spurgeon wrote on finding the perfect church, "If I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I should never have joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it, for it would not have been perfect church after I had become a member. Still imperfect as it is, church is the dearest place on earth to us."